ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धश्रोगेणाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितञ्जेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनुहाभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीजूतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकन्त राधाकन्त नमस्तुते। तत्कांचन गौराङ्गी राधिवृन्दावनेश्वरी विशाभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। मञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दिनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिस्वरूप दामोदर स्वामिनीति नामिनि। नमस्सद् भक्तमनये मुनिपुर उद्भवाय च प्रभुपादलसद्वाणी प्रचरो निरताय ते। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनीति नामिनि। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात् देशतारिणे। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, Text 38. It is written in prose form, so I'll read alone and we shall read the word meanings together. Nibritti lakshana margo adavevo vekhataha yatavan evandakosha जश चतुर्दशधा पुराणेषु विकल्पित उपगीयते यत्तत् भगवतो नारायणस्य साक्षात् महापुरुषस्य स्थविष्टं रूपं आत्ममाया गुणमयम् अनुवर्णितम् आदृतः पठितः पठति शृणोति श्रावयति स उपगेयं भगवतः परमात्मनो अग्राह्यम् अपि श्रद्धा भक्ति विशुद्ध बुद्धिर् वेद। वर्ड मीनिंग प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। निवृत्ति लक्षण मार्ग द पाथ सिम्प्टमाइज्ड बाय रिनाउंसिएशन or the path of liberation. Adau, in the beginning, the second and third cantos, eva, indeed, vekhata, described, Etavan, this much. Ebo, certainly. Andakosha, the universe which resembles a big egg. Yah, which. Chaturdashadha, in 14 parts. Puraneshu, in the Puranas. Vikalpitaha, divided. Upagiyate, is described. Yat, which. Tat, that. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayanesha, of Lord Narayana. Shakshat, directly. Mahapurushasya, of the Supreme Person. Sthavishtam, the gross. Rupam, form. Atmamaya, of his own energy. Guna, of the qualities. Mayam, consisting. Anuvarnitam, described. Adritaha, venerating. Pathati, one reads. Srinoti, or hears. Sravayati, or explains. Shah, that person. Upageyam, song. Bhagavataha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paramatmanaha, of the Super Soul. Agrajyam, difficult to understand. Api, although. Shraddha, by faith. Bhakti and devotion. Vishuddha, purified. Buddhi, whose intelligence Veda understands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I have already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg, divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord, created by His energy and qualities. It is generally called the Virat Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it or explains it to others to propagate Bhagavata Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this consciousness is very difficult, by this process one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam, as explained, especially for the understanding of modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virata form of the Lord as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That will help one save himself from material conditional life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation, so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. So for many days we are hearing the description of hellish planets. This is part of Lord's universal form or Virata Rupa. For the beginners, this information of universal form is important, because in the beginning we may not have sufficient inclination to the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why even in Bhagavatam, which is known as Amal Purana, spotless Purana, also includes this universal form. Of course, for a pure devotee, an advanced devotee, it is not so important. We have seen in Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, he requested Lord Krishna to show his universal form. But after seeing this universal form, he was completely bewildered, fearful, and he requested Lord Krishna to withdraw that form and to show his first 400 form, then ultimately his 200 human-like form. And that form, human-like form, is most pleasing to the devotees. But still, in the beginning stage, we should understand Krishna completely. As far as possible, completely is never possible, but this Virata Rupa or the universal form is also, it is part of Krishna's energy. And especially this chapter, Hellish Planets, I think it is very, very purifying. Very, very purifying, because we are generally, we are much attracted to sinful thoughts and sinful activities. Especially in Kali Yuga, people are very much attracted to sinful activities. So we must have this knowledge of hellish planet, and we must have faith in this. Generally, when people are influenced by atheistic concept, they don't, first of all, they don't believe it, and they are not fearful about hellish planet. They think these are all fairy tales, just to artificially create some fear so that people artificially become afraid. But it is not fact. The real, this is the difference between devotees and atheist or non-devotees. The non-devotees, they think these are fairy tales. But devotees, they take it very seriously. I heard that in Mahabharata or somewhere, when Krishna was telling to Bhima that if you don't perform Ekadashi, then you have to go to hellish planet and you have to get punishment like this and that. So Bhima became so nervous, so afraid, that he started to tremble like anything. He was trembling like anything. So Bhima was very, very powerful man, with a muscular man, with very good health. He had strength of, I think, 10,000 elephant. So compared to Bhima, we are nothing. We are zero compared to Bhima. But we are not so much afraid as Bhima was, isn't it? Bhima was trembling for fear of hellish planets, although he was much more spotless in his life. And although many of us have so much, you know, fault and, you know, sinful background, but still, we are not afraid like Bhima. So this is one of the symptom that, you know, how much advanced we are. If we are really advanced, we will be afraid. We will be afraid to hear this narration of hellish planet. As Bhima was really good devotee, all the Pandavas, they were considered as pure devotees. So if Bhima was so afraid, that means he had full faith in these descriptions. So in today's text also, it is said that one must read this with great faith, that these descriptions are not fairy tales. And also, if you logically think, even in this earth planet, sometimes we see punishment, horrible punishment. Sometimes if you visit hospital, you can see directly horrible punishments. Even around us, so many things are happening, horrible. Near my house, a dog produced 6 puppies, and 5 puppies were eaten by other dogs, just in front of my eyes. I was trying to protect, but I could not. So horrible how they are the dog is eating the puppies. It is horrible. So this type of life we have already crossed, we have already passed. So in this way, if we have if we keep our eyes open, even in this planet we can see that sometimes there are many horrible punishment. So this punishment is not it is not impossible, it is not fairy tales. At the time of war, so many horrible things, so many people suffer like anything. In hospital, people suffer like anything. When they get disease, they suffer like anything. So punishment is not fairy tales. So if punishment in this planet is not fairy tales, why punishment in other planets like hellish planets should be considered as fairy tales? So we should think logically also. And when you commit sin, there must be punishment. There must be punishment. Especially those who are atheist, for them punishment is very, very severe. And those who are devotee, sometimes devotee may have hallucination that we have put tilak and we have put kanti beads and we are more or less chanting. So we are free from punishment. Practically speaking, a devotee may be free from Jamraj, the king of death. They may not have to visit a hellish planet, but they are not free from punishment. Those who are really devotee, if they commit some sin or offenses, they are also punished. But that punishment directly comes from Krishna. Krishna directly punishes the devotees. And just like father slaps his son sometimes, if necessary. Krishna can slap his devotees. Guru is also authorized to slap his disciples. And Krishna can also slap his devotees. So, when devotees commit mistakes, when devotee commits sin or aparad, punishment is there. It is not that there is no punishment. It depends on the sincerity of the devotee. If devotee is very, very insincere, the punishment is more. If the devotee is very, very sincere, Krishna minimizes the punishment, understanding that this devotee is very sincere. Otherwise, we have seen, if you read the narrations in Srimad Bhagavatam and in other scriptures, devotees are also apparently punished. We have seen the Pandavas, they were in forest for 13 years, isn't it? So their life was, practically speaking, at least apparently, it was great suffering, staying in, being princess, brought up in kingly atmosphere. They had to pass in forest for 13 years, 12 years in forest and 1 year incognito, leading a life exactly like a menial servant. So that is, practically speaking, suffering. And Parikshit Maharaj, the hero of this Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj, how he left his body? A snake came, a flying snake, and emanated fire from its mouth, and Parikshit Maharaj got burned, his body got burned by that fire emanating from the Takshaka snake. So in this way we see Parikshit Maharaj and many, Bhishma Deva, who is known as one of the 12 Mahajans, he was laying on bed of arrows. Although it is said that in the beginning he had some pain, but at last Krishna came and tasked him, and then he was relieved from all pains. So more or less, devotees are also sometimes, they also have to pay for their mistakes, for their sin, for their offenses. But it is controlled directly by Krishna, it is not controlled by Jamaraj. So that's why devotees should not be, should not have dream that, okay, we have one offenses among 10 offenses against holy name, that to commit sinful activities on the strength of holy names. But okay, I have so much faith in holy name, so if I commit some sin, holy name will, take the reaction. I will not suffer those reactions. So this is considered as an offense, and it will be actually punished. It is not that there will be no punishment. In Sanskrit verse it is said, nahi jamoirhi shuddhi. Even jamraj, this word has explained in two different ways. The word is na vidyate tvaisya jamoirhi shuddhi, that he will not be rectified even by jama. So some devotee explain that jama means jama, niyama, asana, pranayama, you know, that eight angas of ashtanga yoga. Now one of the anga is called jama. So a devotee who is committing offenses, he will not be rectified by jama, niyama, asana, pranayama. So this is one of the explanation. Another explanation is jama means jamaraj. Jama means jamaraj. So he will not be even rectified by jama. So if he is really in the, very beginning stage, not sincere, then punishment will be severe. Punishment will be severe. And it will be, sometimes it may be given by others, not directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have one narration of Bhima's son, Ghatotkach. Ghatotkach was Bhima's son, so in that sense he was born in from a devotee parent, devotee father at least. But he spoiled his life. You know, it is written in Mahabharata that Ghatotkach, he was breaking, practically speaking, all the four regulative principles. And Krishna wanted to kill him. But because he was Bhima's son, devotee's son, Krishna did not kill him so easily. But when, at the time of Kurukshetra war, he was invited to participate in the battle of Kurukshetra, and in that battle he was killed by Karna. So at the time, Arjuna asked Krishna, so he is Bhima's son, why he is killed like this? Why he died in this battlefield? So Krishna told, actually I wanted to kill him because he was breaking all the regulative principles. So I wanted to kill him. So it is nice that he has been killed in this battlefield serving the devotees. So he will be benefited. So you see, although Ghatotkacha was a relative, son of a devotee, but he was not exempted from the punishment. Punishment was there, but Krishna channelized. Krishna channelized it in such a way that even this punishment will benefit him. So this is Krishna's function. You know, Krishna channelized the punishment. There is another story in Mahabharata, Jayadratha. Jayadratha's father, he was not a good man. So he unnecessarily he gave a curse to everyone. He told, anybody who will kill my son, who will cut my son's head and will throw his head also. The killer of my son, his head also, he could not put the sentence in a right order. He told, whoever will throw my son's head on ground, his head also will be thrown. He made a curse. So at the time of Kurukshetra war, Arjuna beheaded Jayadratha's head. Arjuna cut Jayadratha's head. And Krishna knew that Jayadratha's father, gave this curse, that if anybody throw my son's head on the ground, his head also will be thrown. So then immediately what Krishna did, he channelized. What he did, he told Arjuna, before it falls on the ground, you put another arrow, because they had so much, power, they could do anything with mantra. So with another arrow, throw this head on the lap of his father. His father was at that time sitting in a forest and meditating. So Arjuna, what he did with another arrow, he just chanted some mantra so that the head goes to his father's lap. So the head was flying, and ultimately it dropped on his father's lap. And father was in deep meditation when suddenly he felt something fell on my lap. He opened his eyes, and before understanding that it was his son's head, he saw so much blood, and he immediately threw that head on the ground. And what happened? Jayadratha's father's head also fell on the ground. He also died. Jayadratha's father also died. So, in this way, to save devotees, sincere and serious devotees, Krishna can adjust so many things. He channelizes the punishment. Sometimes people argue that we suffer our sin, we suffer our bad karma. So what is wrong? Sometimes Muslims, they argue, we are killing cows. But these cows, in last life, they were criminals. They did some sin, otherwise how they suffer? How I can kill them if they have not committed any sin in previous life? We cannot deny that argument, because in the world of God, in the kingdom of God, even in material world, without sin, nobody suffers. Even if I want to kill you, I cannot kill you if you have not committed some sin in previous life. Suppose you have committed some murder in previous life, then only God will permit me to kill you. Otherwise, even if I try to kill you, maybe I try to kill somebody and I go to his house and I came to know that he went to Bombay, he went to Delhi, he went to America. Who arranged this? God arranged this. Krishna arranged this through his agents, through Paramatma and through his different agents. So Krishna knows this person is not worthy to be murdered. So if I want to murder him, Krishna will arrange in such a way that I cannot murder him. Even if I try so much, I cannot murder him. Either he will leave the place, he will go to other country, somehow or other, or I will have heart attack, somehow or other, this person will be saved. But if I am able to murder him, that means that man also, who was murdered, that man also committed some crime in his last life. So, using this argument, sometimes the cow killer, sometimes they argue that because these cows, they committed some sin in their previous life, then we can kill them. So, in one sense, there is no mistake. It is true. Without any sin or criminal activities, nobody will be punished. There is no injustice in the kingdom of God. This material world is also kingdom of God. It is also part of kingdom of God. Prison is also part of the kingdom. So, we are in a kingdom of God, but we are in the prison. But in prison also, in the eyes of God, no sinless person can be punished. So how cows are killed if they did not have committed sin in their previous life? So the argument is okay, but at the same time, what is their mistake? The mistake is that they are taking the justice in their own hand. And Krishna is channelizing this, that's all. Yeah. I want to kill somebody, so I have this sinful desire. And Krishna channelizes my sinful desire to be fulfilled, to be applied on somebody who also had committed sin in his previous life. Still I am culprit. Why? Because I have this sinful desire. I cannot apply my sinful desire on some spotless man or even a soul which have no sufficient sin or criminal activities in his past life. I cannot apply my sinful desire. But when I have this sinful desire, Krishna channelizes. What he does, you have this sinful desire, so I'll find out the right person to whom you can apply this sinful desire. So I want to kill somebody, so Krishna will channelize my sinful desire to kill such a person who committed crime in his previous life, worthy to be murdered, worthy to be killed. But still, I am sinful. Why? Because I have that sinful desire. My only sin is sinful desire. So that's why our sinful desire should be rectified. Because if we have sinful desire, very strong sinful desire, Krishna will fulfill it. He will channelize it to punish those who are already sinful. But because of my sinful desire, I will also have to suffer in hellish planet, in human life. If I have this sinful desire, then I will also have to suffer in hellish planet. So that's why we have to be free from sinful desire. And for becoming free from sinful desire, we have to read all this narration, especially the narration of hellish planet. I think if you read again and again and again, and we can grow more faith in this description of hellish planet. Actually, if you read all these verses one by one with attention, really you will be afraid. Many of us, you know, we are from sinful background, and we cannot claim, many of us cannot claim that I have become completely, you know, most sincere devotee or, you know, very serious devotee. Some of those, I mean, those who are really good devotees and sincere devotee, for them, you know, Krishna helps. Krishna doesn't take so much. Krishna likes to minimize the punishment of sincere devotees. In Bhagavatam, there is a very nice verse. Sapadamulam bhajataha priyasya tekta unna bhavasya harihi paresha vikarmam jat chatpatitam kathanchit dhonati sarvam hridi sannivishta. Sapadamulam bhajataha priyasya. If any sincere devotee is serving your lotus feet, sapadamulam bhajataha, is serving priyasya, your dear devotee, very dear devotee who is really sincere, tekta unna bhavasya, and he gives up other kind of attachment, or, you know, I mean, he is not interested in demigods, or he is not interested in any other activities. He is only interested in you, manmana bhava mad bhakta mad jaji. He is worshipping you, thinking of you. Vikarmam jat chatpatitam kathanchit. If by chance, if by accident, he commits some vikarma, sinful activities, dhunati sarvam, I wash everything, I am situated within his heart, and I cleanse everything with my own hands. I clean everything so that next time he doesn't commit such sinful activities. So Krishna takes so much care for those who are really sincere and serious devotees. They are trying, and they are repenting, crying. So in this way, God understands. Even though due to some, you know, past habits, they have accidental fall down, still Krishna helps like anything. But when Krishna understands, oh, this devotee is not at all serious, not at all sincere, he is only falling down, no repentance, no crying, you know, he is very happy and committing offenses and crimes again and again and again and again. Do you think Krishna will forgive? Krishna will give punishment. Chaitanyar dande jar chitta nahi bhay janme janme sei vyakti jamadanda hoy. In Chaitanya Bhagavat it is written that if you are not afraid of the punishment given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Jamraj will take you and he will punish you life after life after life. So we have to be afraid, just like Bhima was afraid punishment of hellish planet. So our main qualification of devotees is that they are very much afraid of this punishment given by, they may not be punished by Jamraj, but even if it is given by Lord himself, Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanyara dande jar chitta nahi bhay, if you are not afraid of the punishment given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, janma janma sei vyakti jamadanda hoy, then the alternative is Jamraj will take you and punish you life after life after life. So it is not sufficient that we have put tilak and we have put contributes and we have become devotee. We have to earnestly try to show and to practice and to implement the real devotional life within our life. Otherwise, this so-called devotional life is not enough to save you from all this hellish planet. It's not enough to save us from all this punishment. So we have to be very, very careful. I have to be very, very, very sincere. This is the lesson we should learn from this narration of hellish planet, Virat Rupa. Then, if we can digest this, then slowly, gradually, one day we'll achieve Krishna's original form, and we can directly serve him in his original form. So I'd like to stop here, but if you have any comment, correction, questions, we can try to discuss. Okay, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, as you told that Krishna personally punishes the devotees.
Pardon?
As you told that Krishna personally punishes the devotees, how he punishes? How he gives punishment to the devotees?
Just like he punished Parikshit Maharaj. It is not, we don't think it is punishment, but externally he was burned, his body was burned. Just like the Pandavas are in forest for 13 years, you know, they had so much suffering in their life. So sometimes devotee, they suffer and they think, this is Krishna's blessing, I am supposed to get more punishment. But Krishna is minimizing. It is fact. If your sincerity is extreme, then Krishna will minimize the punishment. But punishment is there. And it is not controlled by Jamraj. It is controlled by Krishna himself. So we see many devotees, even Prahlad. Of course, because he was very advanced devotees. He was not affected by those punishments because of his pure devotion. Because of his pure devotion. So if your devotion is not pure, in such case, it is like proportionate. How much pain you will get, it depends how much sincere you are in devotion. Prahlad Maharaj was so sincere in his devotion, Bhishmadev was so sincere in his devotion, that even though he was lying on a bed of arrows, but he was not suffering so much. He was smiling, he was speaking with the Pandavas, he was not much affected. But we cannot compare ourselves with them. So our devotion is, alloyed, not unalloyed, not unalloyed, many of us. So in such case we will feel the pain proportionately as much as we are not pure. The more we are pure in devotion, the more we are true to Krishna, the more we will feel, even the punishment externally may be severe, like, you know, in case of Prahlad Maharaj we have seen. Externally it was severe punishment, but internally he was much more free from the influence or pain of those punishments. But because we are not so sincere, we will feel more pain.
Prabhuji, in case of Pandavas and Prahlad Maharaj, they were pure devotees. So I think that the punishment was not there just to perform the Lord's pastime. They were assisting the Lord. Our case is different.
Yeah,
I'm just asking how we will get the punishment if we are committed.
I'm telling those who are really 100% pure devotees, for them punishment or no punishment is same. Those who are 100% pure devotee, for them punishment and no punishment is same. But it is also said that if we are not afraid of God's punishment, Chaitanya dande jar chitta nahi bhoy, janme janme sei byakti jamadanda hoy. If you are not afraid of Mahaprabhu's punishment, if you are not afraid of Krishna's punishment, then we will suffer in hellish planet. This is written in scripture. So we cannot deny, but we cannot compare ourselves with pure devotee. Those who are pure devotee, for them punishment, death, you know, life is same. Everything is same for them. Even if they are killed, they are aloof. They are aloof. They are not influenced by all these changes. But for us, you know, we have to suffer. We have to have, you know, sufferings. We cannot think, oh, I am also one of the Prahlad Maharaj. We cannot think like this. Is it clear?
My question is that, Prabhuji, how we will get the punishment? Because we will not go to the hellish planets. So we will be punished
Suppose you cut your, one day you are cutting a fruit and you cut your finger by chance. So you may complain, I am devotee, I am chanting, I am following four regulative principles. How I cut my finger? How you cut your finger? It happens or not? One day one devotee was going by motorbike and he lost his leg. It happens or not? So how it happens? It happens, I heard Prabhupada said, I have committed so much sin in my previous life that God is supposed to cut my head, but instead of cutting my head, he minimized the punishment and he cut my finger. So it is punishment or not? Punishment. So devotee, maybe they get minimized. How much minimized? As much as you are sincere. The less you are sincere, the more is the punishment. The more you are sincere, the more minimized it is. Is it clear? Okay. Any other comment?
Hare Krishna. In your the example of the cows, killing the cows because they did some simple activity previously, I didn't think the animals come under karma. They get, you get an animal body and then you progress. Natural is a natural progression from animals. I didn't think they were under like the like humans.
Yeah.
They were coming up until
okay.
And then they take birth as a human after that. So to say that they're suffering from we're killing the cow because in previous time he killed someone, but he's already freed from that suffering.
Yeah, nice question. Now we can analyze this point. So suppose I have two cows. One cow lead a very happy life. And near my house there is one cow. They're using fan and giving mosquito coils. In winter they are giving blanket. So that cow is leading a better life, comfortable life. But there is another cow who is killed by Muslim. Suppose if we compare between these two cows, now if I ask, in the kingdom of God there is no injustice. Is it fact or not? In the kingdom of God, there is no injustice. This is a very famous saying in many, you know, throughout the world people say this. In the kingdom of God, there is no slightest injustice. Even if a mosquito bites me, I get some pain, and this pain is due to me. I mean, it is not that by mistake God, you know, one mosquito bit me. It's not like that. Because I committed some sin, it is exactly, accurately measured how much sin I have done, and accordingly a mosquito, you know, beat me. So, without some sin, whether human or animal, all animals are not same. Some cows are suffering, some cows are not suffering so much. Some dogs are suffering, some dogs are not suffering so much. So if we try to explain the difference between two dogs or two cows, why one is so comfortable and why another is suffering. And in the kingdom of God, there is no injustice, not even slightest injustice. So how one cow is happy and living comfortably and how another cow is suffering? So the answer is that maybe not previous life, but he had passed many, many lives. Sometimes there is description that we first, when we enter within this universe, we get elevated life like Brahma or like this. So then we misuse those lives, then we become, and we travel through 84 species. So this 84 species is not, it is not that it started from zero. It also has previous history in previous kalpa. So in some kalpa, in some previous creation, this cow committed some crime. Otherwise, a Muslim, even if he tries to kill the cow, cow will be saved by God. Because there is no injustice. There is no injustice, not even slightest injustice. Even a mosquito cannot bite a cow if he doesn't have some kind of sin in some kalpa. So this is my understanding. Now, if you have some further clarification, welcome. Please. Do you have some further comments? Are you satisfied, Prabhu?
You're talking of different kalpas, okay.
Pardon?
You're talking about different kalpas.
Oh. Okay. 1 minute.
But in his previous life, he wasn't a cow. He must have been a man, otherwise he wouldn't get the
sin. Yeah, sometimes you hear that a man killing cow, next life he will become cow. So some karmic reaction is related. Yeah, some karmic reaction is related. Otherwise, why one cow is living happily, comfortably in a devotee's house, another cow is suffering? So there must be explanation for the punishment. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no slightest injustice. Okay, thank you very much. Can I stop here? Jai Granthras Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Samavata Vaishna Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nidai Gaur Pramanande, Hari Hari Bhagavatam.